Welcome back to another episode of You Can't Handle the Heat. I am Gage, joined here by Joe, all the way from the Deutschland. Joe, how are we doing?
I'm doing awesome here in Friedrichshafen, where it is absolutely burning. Yeah. I'm absolutely on fire. It is so hot here.
Joe, we got to have an absolutely count for you, man, because in the past two intros, you said absolutely, combined now, for at least 10 times. Absolutely, absolutely.
Dude, because I'm
just... It's not bad. I mean, it just means you're fired up.
I know. It just means, exactly, I'm fired up to be here. Shooting the podcast late nights here in Deutschland.
What time is it over there?
It is midnight here, just about.
So you're on Friday right now. Are you on Friday or Saturday?
Just about to be Friday. A day
ahead. Okay, so it's 11. I'm here midday and Thursday over here. Yeah. Joe's a day ahead of me. Just ahead, rise and grind. Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah.
Now this is kind of a something we haven't really talked about. Or before I kind of get into that, we're going to have Casey Patterson, who we were going to have last week on the show. He'll be joining us later during this podcast, so we'll be able to talk it up to him. I have some funny questions for him because I know he's a pretty fired up player. So am I. I get fired up as well. So that should be pretty interesting. But something we haven't really discussed is all the stuff that's going on in college right now and what we're doing right now. As you saw, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, it was the Big Ten who first said, nope, they're not having a season for football. And then it's volleyball too as well, right?
Big Ten is all sports. It's all fall sports. Football is actually probably the last one, I would assume. I would assume most conferences, yeah. Football is the last one because, of course, of its revenue generating abilities. And so, yeah, pretty much, there will not be NCAA sports this fall. There's no way that any conference can sustain it. There's all these petitions. I'm like, okay, these petitions and stuff, if you just look at, because the way that universities have to be able to protect student athletes versus how professional athletes are allowed to sign off and risk their own health. There's two, the way you handle those two different leagues and those two different sets of athletes is completely different. A professional athlete can go and be fully liable for their health, where student athletes and the universities have to really look out for the individual athletes and the team and the school's health as a whole.
Right. This is so weird right now because we follow a lot of people on Instagram and I follow a lot of volleyball accounts on Instagram, like colleges, and you see like half the country practicing and then half the country just like done. It's so weird.
There's so many schools who are I've seen that they're reporting this week. I don't know what they're reporting for. But if you look at the NCAA and conferences.
Cancellation.
Conferences are granting fifth year eligibility for a lot of these a lot of these athletes, but if they go into the spring again and have to issue out those years of eligibility, and you're having athletes come back for another year, it's not feasible at all, because now you're cutting into total scholarship money for those people who don't understand what this is. Each sport, the NCAA delegates each sport the maximum amount of scholarships that they're allowed to give within a given sport. So for college football, it's 85, I believe. 85 total scholarships. Men's volleyball is 4.5. Women's volleyball is 12. And beach volleyball, I want to say is 10 or 12. I might be wrong on that, but I'm going to take a guess. It's 10 or 12 there. And that's the maximum any university is allowed to spend. Obviously, on the men's side, really only the top half of schools are able to give those full 4.5 scholarships out. Most schools only can afford 2 to 3, 3.5 scholarships. And so they are not able to give all 4.5 out. But when you start issuing back these special exceptions for all these student athletes to come back and play another year, now you're cutting into total scholarships. You have all these sixth-year seniors basically coming back and taking up those scholarships. And then you have the incoming freshmen who might be getting screwed over now because there's no scholarship because you have these older – and obviously the universities, especially with like a six-year player, they're going to lean towards bringing that player back on scholarship because they've been in the program for six years and they're more experienced. They're stronger, faster, stronger.
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Bigger, faster, stronger, exactly.
And you know, I kind of talked to this with Ratto for a little. I said, Ratto, I was like, you see all this chaos happening. Do you regret coming back? And he's like, no, not at all. And I'll be honest, if I was in his position, I don't know if I would have stayed or not.
Yeah.
And here's kind of why. It's like, first of all, if he would have shopped around, right, if he said, okay, I'm going pro, and you got a lefty, a big, he had a great, half senior season, had a great season, a great, great career at Hawaii, you know, he probably would have made a decent amount of money first year as a hitter.
For sure.
Going somewhere, one. And then two, it's like everything is so up in the air, and you see Europe, obviously they got hit first, they handled it really, really well.
And that,
they kind of shut down everything, they kind of got everything in order.
I want to cut you off there because 2-3 months ago, when we were asking Ratto, and you asked me the same questions, like, if you were in this situation, what would you do? And I'm like, oh, I for sure go back to UH. You know, it's going to be a much better situation, get to play another year. But right now that I'm over here in Europe, 100%, they've handled things way better over here. The situation's way better. It's way more likely for everything to go full steam ahead. And actually, it's Friday now here in Germany. Today is the Champions League drawing. So we find out our Champions League pool today at noon.
Where's that?
And that's going to be broadcasted up on the interweb. But we're finding out our club, Friedrichshafen, we're in Champions League again. We're actually the only club in the history of Champions League to be in it the entire time. There's no other club who's ever been in Champions League.
Congratulations.
I mean, that's nothing. Like, I've only been here now a year, so that's the club doing. But it's
all thanks to Joe.
Yeah, exactly. But that's pretty cool. And so we find out today, actually, who our pool's going to be. We'll see if we'll be going Russia, Italy. I don't know yet where we're going to be going. But, yeah, like I was saying, if in the player shoes now in the U.S., now, like, in hindsight, when you asked me that question 2-3 months ago, I was for sure like, dude, stay in the U.S. Everything will be much better here. But now that I'm over here, it's like things are way better over here. You're in way better shape, way better condition. And it's looking more than likely that I think there will for sure be a season here in Europe. And in the U.S., I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's more unlikely than anything right now.
Joe, where you're at right now, you guys are out here playing, looking at Champions League, looking at full, just everything.
Yeah,
and I can't even get a freaking – and I can't even get, like, a freaking grass volleyball net up set up. Like, unreal. Just unreal. But that's just the world we live in, man. That's just the world we live in, and adapt as we grow, as we go. Hopefully, Hawaii loosens the laws. At least get on the grass, play some grass volleyball, get everyone out there. But that's what's looking at for right now. Again, we'll keep you guys updated. We'll keep continuing posting videos. Right now, before we get Casey on, I want to talk about one thing. I'm actually preparing for my food challenge. So for those of you guys who don't know, I released a video yesterday about my reaction. You know, it's been asking for a while, so I decided to do it in quarantine while I had time. And then I'm also going to be doing 2 days, 10 food challenges.
10.
Within those 2 days. And that's
ten
two, that's
food
that's
challenges.
Pretty that's coming up here. And so what I'm doing, I'm expanding my stomach. I've eaten an insane amount. It's only like halfway through the day, and I've eaten more than I usually would. So in the next couple of days here, I'm going to try and expand my stomach and just try and damn near make myself explode. And I'm going to try and do all 10 of them. You know, it's going to be gnarly. It's going to be a mixture of everything. Got my list down. I'm ready to go. I'm keeping the toilet open the whole 2 days. I'm just going to say that. but yeah, so that's what's going on in my household. Sounds like Joe's holding the fort down pretty well in the Deutschland. But let's get to our guest here. A man that needs, well, I'm going to give him, I say a man that needs no introduction, but he's going to get an introduction. But let's get him on the phone here. Let's get him on the call if he can't handle the heat. Casey Patterson, an Olympian, an AVP professional, an AVP champion, an exquisite dude with more exquisite hair. Casey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Of course I wore a hat today when that intro. It's my fault. Sorry.
I mean, you can still see the flow from the
this is, I'll get the tail. Back. Maybe I'll get the tail to show a little. There we go. Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of trying my own flow here, but it's just not looking as immaculate as yours over there.
I mean, you've got the volume. You just got to like shape it a little.
It's just crazy.
Dialed. Yeah.
That's the thing about Hawaii here. It's always so like moist and everything. So my hair is always crazy. I think I got to maybe go for a buzz cut here. But
right.
Where are you joining us from today?
I'm at home in Camarillo, California.
Okay.
Camarillo.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where exactly,
so,
where, like, relative to like
Sorry.
No, it's more relative to like Manhattan and Hermosa.
Yeah.
Where is that?
No, it's kind of fun. We did like a, was that the Wayne's World order? So if you're in Manhattan Beach and you drive about an hour north towards Santa Barbara, right as you drop down that huge grade from like Thousand Oaks, you drop down the grade. The first town is Camarillo, and then it's like Oxnard, Ventura, and then it goes like Carpinteria, then Santa Barbara. So I'm right there, Camarillo.
Okay, right on. So Gage and I have talked about this a lot, actually, and we're very adamant about how we only, like, in all our videos or like our podcasts, we only bring on people who are like really passionate about, even if they're, that we don't even really care so much about like their performance on the volleyball court. But we want to bring on people that like are really passionate about either something off the court or their game or whatever. And that's like the first thing whenever we see stuff from you, whether it's to like the McKibben, their videos, or we watch you play on the court or wherever, like that's like the first thing you notice. And personally, Gage and I are big fans of all the trash talk. We always get a huge crack up all the trash talk that happens. But the first question I want to ask is, Is there a player from another sport that you think you could compare yourself to? Or when you watch that player, you're like, yeah, I could see like the way I play the game, or you, or somebody that you admire because of the way they play the game.
Yeah, I mean, dude, to be honest, there's so many guys. I think, you know, if you're looking at dudes that you like looked up to as a kid and like you could see the passion and like the hustle, but then they're also kind of like entertainers in a way. And I'm nowhere near in the stratosphere at all of this athlete, but it's someone that I always like looked up to, was like, dude, watching like Muhammad Ali and how like lyrical he was when he would talk about how he's gonna put somebody away, and like he had like it almost like he was rapping, but he didn't like, it's almost like he didn't create it before, he was just like in the flow and like just speaking in the moment. And I was always like, dude, this dude is so gnarly, like this is all time for me, because it was so entertaining. Like I was 100% consumed when he was like talking. I was like, dude, I can't even think about anything else I'd want to do right now, but listen to him talk trash with this dude and then go out and show it and be like dodging and just do it in such a smooth way. Like, dude, his style was so rad. But then of course, you know, you go through all the other guys, like a Kobe who's just like doing everything he can. But I think some of those guys lack a little bit of the fun, passionate entertainment side of it, where you're like,
oh yeah.
You know, it'd be fun if they were, if they could like entertain me a little bit and not just be like a robot.
And I think, my first question, because I like to see, I'm a libero, and this is why I tell other people, you know, back there as a libero, you know, you're kind of in the back line. So you're trying to like creep up, like, let me hear like what's going on up there. I want to like say some crap. Like, what can you do? I just dug a ball. I mean, I guess I can try and smack talk as much as possible. But have you ever, my first question, I have a couple here. My first question would be, have you ever thought out a line? You're like, oh, I'm going to hit this guy with this when I do this before a game, or is this kind of
Yeah, back, dude, a few times before I'd play guys, it was before I even qualified with AVP. I would look up like in a AAA, like a CBVA, I would look up dudes like full names. And so I would say that if they went to run for a line shot early and you hit the cutty, or the opposite, right? They like run for the cutty and I'm like, where are you going? But you would say their name in their entire full name in the air. Cause you know, the only people that do that is like their parents when they're in trouble. Like no one says like Casey Ryan Patterson. So if you could like, dude, like I'd be like, I would say their full name and then like, where are you going, dude? Like, but when they hear their full name, they got so rattled. That was the only thing I think I ever pre-planned. It was, I'd be like, all right, I'm playing these dudes first round. I know they're going to talk trash, but dude, I'm going to bring this.
And everyone knows, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Casey, you're a family man, as you can see from the pictures behind you there.
Oh, yeah.
So have you ever, do you ever try and get, I don't know if they're the age yet where they're participating in sports now, do you ever kind of get them riled up? Like, I want you to go out there and I want you to destroy that kid's spirits right now. Get in his ear and just absolutely destroy that kid.
They are, I think there's like my boys are Cash and Guy, and they're 11 and 9, and they're playing basketball, baseball, whatever they can. And I just try to talk to them about when they're talking and they're feeling confident, to have it be something that's different than just like a loud noise or just being like, yeah, what's up? Like being like a little bit more strategic about what you say.
Personal.
Even if it's something kind and they're like, but it's personal, or it's like pretty witty. That always comes across better and it affects the guys a little bit more. So yeah, I'll talk to him and be like, dude, get Nikki there. And just be like, bro, I'm a foot taller than you, dude. You're 9 years old. I thought you were 7. Like, how are you allowed to play on my level? Like, stuff like that.
Frad dad moment.
Yeah.
So, so I think everybody knows that you went to BYU, and Gage is just – he just brought up the thing about him being a libero and not being able to trash talk. And that was the one place my senior year 2 years ago, I remember I want to ask you what the crowd was like when you were at BYU, because Gage, my senior year, that was the only time he was trash talking, was to the crowd where he was waving by because we beat BYU. But like,
it gets me riled up, man. BYU gets me riled up.
He's like, goosebumps right now.
Pointing to the exit. He's like, the exit's that way.
Let's go. It's past curfew. Get to your dorms. You can only have chocolate milk before bed. No Diet Coke. Dude, exactly. BYU, when I was there, was the same, dude. They'd have, like, they had to actually implement those, like, you know that, like, triangle barrier that's, like, padded they put back there? Did they have that when you guys were playing? So when we were playing,
kicking it into our legs.
Yeah, when we were playing, it wasn't there because the whole football team would come and sit, right? And some of the guys would, like, they would, like, just pull on your jersey before you served. And the whole all those guys, they would split in half and they would sit on both sides and talk so much trash. They'd be looking up stats on you, like, where you grew up, everything about you. And so it was rowdy even when I was there. It was crazy.
The craziest thing I'd ever seen. So when Gage and I, Kavika showed the senior year at Stanford, when they won the national championship, Gage and I were the ball boys for the team that year.
No way.
and I remember when BYU came into town, the Stanford student section got in a ton of trouble because all the guys showed up with like 8 baby dolls like each. They were carrying each of them had like 8 different like baby dolls. And that was like the funniest thing. Like from a BYU match, I thought that was like the funniest
amazing
way of heckling. Right.
Brought all the kids. You guys were ready to play. 21, exactly. I got 8 already.
No, 100%.
You know, you go.
I was saying, as you know, as a competitor, when I'm playing against the guy Gage and I, like, we live for that. Playing against guys who like trash talk to us, that just kind of fires us up. Is there a line that you have, or certain guys you're like, okay, I can't, like, it's not going to be beneficial to me if I get this guy going?
Oh, for sure.
And who those guys are for you?
Yeah. You know, there's a few dudes, and specifically guys that are Brazilians, like Ricardo Santos. He's a guy you do not want to go like blow for blow, trash talking and like trying to bounce against him, because he will play significantly better. And that was the same as when he was playing with Emmanuel. It was the same thing when Jake and I would play, and we'd be like, or he'd be like, all right, Case, like, you got to control that fire and just like bring it to me. Just give it to me. Don't give it to them. And I was like, okay. So I was like real strategic. And another guy is like a Nick Lucena. You get in his face and you get all fired up, and he's just like turns into like a bulldog, and he plays so much better. So it was like I had to just have that same fire, but be like to Jake, and then kind of like, or whoever I was playing with, and talk to them about what's going on and let the energy out and just more like pump your guy up instead of like trying to start a fire. So that was for sure. You had to be strategic about it, because you know there's guys that you could get away with, like a Trevor Crabb. You could talk back and forth with him all day, and he's always just going to play at that level. But that's the first time I played him, I tried not to talk and I played worse, and I was like, forget it. I'm just going all in.
Right.
And Trevor's like secretly such a good dude that no one really knows that, because he's accepted kind of like the bad boy label. But there's for sure specific dudes you want to let them cool and just do their thing and kind of stay asleep. And then other guys you really got to go after. So you got to be strategic about that.
So who's your favorite to go? Who do you know that you could worldwide? Who do you know that you can get in their head the most? And you can. It's okay if you haven't told us. Who do you know? Okay, I'm getting in this guy's head.
Or
easy.
Is it like
your
is
favorite?
It universal.
Yeah, is universal. It, it's kind of universal.
Let's start some beef.
It goes with everybody. But yeah, if we're going like, let's start some beef. Like talking trash to a guy that loves to talk trash as well. Like let's say an Adrian Carumbla who played in the U.S. forever, and then he went and played for Italy. And I was like, dude, you're still Adrian. I still beat you when you were in America all the time playing on the team player. Like, just because you got the Italian card now or whatever, you're playing for Italy, it doesn't mean I'm not going to, like, beat you down, dude. Like, that was fun, and we're always good buds too. But guys like that, and just universally, I'm just going to bring that to everybody. There's no, like, specific one dude. And I know that guys that like to talk trash back and forth, if you end up winning, that's just like a snowball effect. And then it just, it enforces it even more. But a guy I used to get in their head a lot, I feel like was like a John Heiden, because we hated playing each other so much. I hated it so much. And now we're like buds. It's kind of weird how you get older and you're like, we're just stoked to be here, but we still want to win.
Right.
That's how it always works.
Right?
Like your greatest friends, you kind of bond because from a mentality standpoint, you're at such a similar level of like how you train, how you prepare, how your daily lives are. And that's kind of why I want to take it next was Gage and I, like the name Out of System, like kind of our YouTube channel, our whole branding name, it comes from a few different areas, but one of them is that like Gage and I, like with our height and our stature, when we play beach volleyball, indoor volleyball, we have to like figure out such different ways of winning a lot of the times when we play different people. And it's like not like in system, maybe we're not like the typical way. So kind of the out of system way, like figuring out different ways to be successful for us. And I want to ask you, you know, as a competitor, when you go into matches, I think if you ever think like this guy's better than me, no matter how many championships or trophies or individual accomplishments the person have, you'll never be like, this guy's better than me, because if you go in that way, you're not going to, like, you're setting yourself up to lose. So for you, when you go into matches, what do you think going in, you're like, this is what separates me. This is what's going to allow me to beat this team or this player, be successful against this player because of this. Like, what is that for you that separates yourself?
To be honest, I'd say for the majority of my career, I would put, I'll go back. In high school, like, I tried out for the volleyball team and I was playing basketball. And I only wanted to play volleyball because I didn't have to run as much as I did playing basketball, because I hated running. So I was like, dude, I'll just play volleyball. And I had the lowest vertical. I was the slowest on the team, but I could handset, and that's like all I could do. So I got all fired up on that. And then, you know, because I didn't have those physical attributes growing up, I kind of put a chip on my shoulder and be like, I'm going to prove to everyone down the road that I'm going to like do something in this sport. I wasn't the one, like, I was the one dude that wasn't recruited to go D1. I grew 3 inches on my mission. I went on a mission and came back at like 6'6", and I left like 6'2". No one cared about me. I wasn't on any radar for anybody. I came back and I was like, I'm freaking here. Let's roll. Like, the chip was massive. And then the BYU, I never started until my senior year. And I was like, utility man, back up every position, but never really started. And I was just like bouncing two balls every day. Like, that's all I did. I was like, oh, am I the only guy in the gym looking at the ceiling again? Oh, I won that battle. Like, that's all I did. And so I think over time, I got that chip on my shoulder. Was like, dude, I can beat anyone, no matter who they are. I don't care who they are, dude. I'm going to beat them. And that is like, I feel like that's the line you have to have. Like, there's like a little bit of crazy, because if you don't have that, you'll never believe in yourself long term. Yeah. You got to know, like right now, like for example, I started playing pickleball, which is like for old people, right? So I show up, this old lady and dude beat me like 11-0. I'm like, in 1 month, I will be the best person in this city. And then I played yesterday against them and beat them 11-0. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, but you have to have that mentality. You've got to be like, dude, I'm the best player here. And if I'm not now, I'm going to be. So you guys better be careful. This chip on my shoulder is going to get me there no matter what happens.
I love the mentality, because I can just imagine you going to the Y on the versus this 90-year-old granny just like, suck it. Yeah, let's go.
Dude, that happened yesterday. I felt bad. I was like, what's up now? And I was like, probably being a little immature, but I'm really fired up that I'm better now.
That's right, Granny.
That's right. Go
take
home.
Your walker and get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Practice the trash talking on them.
I want to ask you. I want to kind of go into the Olympics, and you were a 2016 Rio Olympian. So this is obviously as a professional athlete. For most sports, international professional athletes, that you guys get to travel a lot of places, right? And a lot of the places, let's say last Olympics was in Rio, and you guys prior to the Rio Olympics was it indoor who played in Rio like that summer that the Olympics were there? Was that?
We did.
Yeah. It was like pretty close to the Olympics. And how does it feel? Cause I always like imagine like the Olympics is a big thing, but if you've played there and have kind of been there, does it kind of bring the hype down, or is it just like or just kind of like I've been there before? Like, how do you kind of feel? How do you like,
dude, that's a great question, because no one's really asked that and no one's really like researched into that. Like, we played it on that exact location like 2 months, maybe 6 weeks before the Olympics in a grand slam, And over the years of trying to qualify, I got to know the DJ from the Brazilian tour, who was the DJ for the Olympics. The commentator, I turned into being like those were some of my best friends, and all the referees from Brazil and all the players. So it was like, dude, to be honest, it was like driving down to, you know, Manhattan and be like, what's up, everybody? It honestly didn't feel like as stressful as I thought it would, because it was like the Olympics. I was like, no, dude, I'm here all day, and every face here I've seen, every tournament we go to, like, I'm fine. So I was actually way more calm and like stoked to be there versus stressed out and all the pressure. Like, the pressure was trying to get there. Like, trying to qualify was way more stress than actually being there, because we'd played there before. So for me, it wasn't like, you know, I'm under these massive amount of lights and feel like, oh, everyone's watching. It was just like, dude, it's another tournament. It's another Grand Slam on the World Tour.
Yeah, because you guys, I mean, no matter, especially in Brazil, you guys are going to get a lot of fans no matter where you're at. And there's a lot of fans at the Olympics. And so when you went back to the Olympic Village, that kind of like, because like you said, when you were at the place, you knew everyone there, you knew the site. But when you went back to the Olympic Village and had the opening and closing ceremony, so that kind of the aura around that it, kind of, okay, that.
Dude,
okay.
That was the moment where you're like, whoa, this is gnarly. Yeah. Like the opening ceremonies, and you're all in this tunnel because they go in order, alphabetical order, and all the U.S. athletes are like in this super dark tunnel right before you go out, and they all start chanting USA. And you could just feel like the energy is something that you've never felt before, because you're like, dude, every person here has like dedicated their life for at least 4 years to like making this dream come true. Right. I mean, their whole lives probably, but then especially these last 4 years, everyone's like, we've all put everything we can into this. Like, this is our moment. It was like, wow, this feels way, this is how it feels, you know, like this is the moment that you wanted to have, that you were waiting for. Like, is it gonna feel different at all ever? And that's when it did. And then of course Olympic Village is like, dude, Serena Williams is in line to get McDonald's, and like everybody's around. You're like,
that's, yeah, that's rad. My next question. Yeah.
It's like, that part's rad. You're like, oh hey, what's up, dude? Like all of the US athletes, all the track stars, NBA guys are cruising through. You're like, wait, what's happening? Like, we're all together now? Like, this is sick.
Are they all chill, or some more standoff, or what's the kind of situation there?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, basically you go back to high school and you're like, so, you know what I mean? Like the sprinters in track think they're the raddest thing on the planet, so they kind of like keep their distance. The NBA guys are like, they just want to see how many people will come shake their hand, and they're like having a contest to see how many people will take a picture with them. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. So then I didn't get a picture with any of them, and I was like,
like, there you go. That's like the year right there.
Star power. I was like, look, dude, you come get a picture with me, because my sport's kind of gnarly too.
So, no, 100%.
Once again, the chip on the shoulder. It was getting in the way. But yeah, I was like, dude, it was rad because you saw all the international athletes too. The gnarliest thing was going into the weight room the first day, and you're like, all right, we're here. We got to get our lift in before we go practice, because we're here like a week early. And you roll in and you walk in, and dude, it was like a Costco-sized gym, but it was like a semi-permanent tent with fans and air conditioning and everything, and every piece of equipment you could ever think of, but the size of a Costco. And you walk in and you're like, dude, the energy, everyone is lifting way too hard. They're just like, wow, we're here, let's go. And everyone there, you're like, we looked at each other, we're like, dude, this is probably the most like in shape location on the planet right now. Like, everyone For is sure. in the gnarliest shape ever. The energy in that place too was just like, this is sick. If I could lift here all the time, I'd be so much more jacked.
looking down the weights, like, I got to match that guy with it. Were the Olympic weightlifters in there as well?
Oh yeah, everyone was in there. And you're just wow. Some dudes were just getting after it. People were like sprinting on those curved treadmills, like faster than I've ever seen a human run. You got like people doing the weirdest like core workouts. You're like, dude, this is a ninja. What does he do? You know, it was just like a bunch of superheroes. You're like, what's happening? Is this Marvel Universe? Like, what are we doing?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's amazing.
Who was the, I don't know if you saw or heard about the most famous person that showed up at on the beach volleyball venue in Rio?
Ooh, was it Neymar? It had to be like a soccer player, right?
Neymar was there?
I don't know. That's what I'm guessing. Like, I feel like
everybody kind of
took turns.
Yeah, I remember like watching some actors and actresses were there being interviewed. So I forgot who it was, but I didn't know if you had heard about any NBA players coming by or.
Yeah, like Kobe would always go watch the indoor team, right? Like, he would always do that. I think we had a similar thing with a lot of the international soccer players, because they're all buds with those beach volleyball players. Because in Brazil, it's like, it's soccer and beach volleyball. Like, those are the two sports where they almost can guarantee they're going to get a medal or be like close to a podium. So I think those guys are in there. And then, I mean, even at Manhattan Beach, I feel like we almost see more star power play in the AVP. Like you roll up and you're like, everyone's like, who's here? Like Vince Vaughn. Okay. There's like Brad Pitt's over there. You're like, what's happening right now? You know, like all these random movie stars show up in Manhattan. And then all like Blake Griffin's there. Steve Nash is like, loves volley. He's always around. You're like, dude, our sport's so rad. Why isn't there more money involved? And why aren't we getting paid better? Like, that's all I
think. Beach volleyball is the number one. Is it the number one or number two in tickets for the Olympics, right?
Yeah, I think it's sold out, like, top two, right? And it's one of the most well, like, first attended, most watched. Like, it always is up there in the rankings. So you'd think there wasn't, like, this gnarly cycle of, like, oh, every 4 years beach volleyball exists. It's like, no, every year it exists. Like, every year there's volleyball around the world. It's way gnarlier. Like, it's crazy.
Just the media coverage, you know? Yeah, once in a while on NBC or something.
Right.
I don't know.
It's a really cool sport that doesn't have the millions of the, you know, multi-million dollar contracts that keep media interested, right? It's just like, the Olympics are the time.
I feel like it would be easier, like, to sell it to investors and whatnot. I'm sure, because there's a lot of investors in Southern California. That's where you'd probably go for investors, or even the Midwest, you know? And I feel like it would be easy to kind of sell to them, to kind of put some money into it. I don't know why that's
done. Dude, exactly. And that's probably the most common topic for all of us, right? Even when we go play indoor, like Germany, like I played overseas forever, and it was just like, why is it so much cooler to be a volleyball player over here when we've got all the media and all the powerhouses and the sports is like, everyone wants to go to the US, but in reality, you go to Switzerland and you're like, dude, or Austria, and everyone knows who you are because they're such gnarly fans. You're like, we're in Austria. How does anyone know who we are? You know, it's crazy. Yeah. Or like a Poland. But that Poland has figured it out. Like volleyball was like number one, right? Like for them forever. You see on guys on all the commercials, you're like, wait, we just played you and you're on the beer commercial? Dude, you're so red. It's crazy. So yeah, no one's figured it out yet, unfortunately, how to really like monetize this thing and make it like explode like it somewhat used to be, you know?
I think we need, to be honest, there needs to be more players like you. Because that's what Gage and I talked about. I was like, when you go watch, and for example, the other day, what's his name? The Padres superstar right now goes down. Like that's, people say that's the reason why people don't watch baseball so much, is because like he goes up and he does, he hits a grand slam and he does something a little flashy. And
no,
he gets some hate. And he gets some hate for it. And then his coach and berates him, and like people are like that's the stuff that NBA and NFL and those types of leagues, they have so many characters like that.
Yeah.
And they have all these marketable personalities, and like in volleyball, I think it's too much at times. Like they try to make it more of a gentleman's game. And
yes,
I'm sure you face negative comments for stuff that you
said. That's what I'm saying, man.
But that there needs to be more of that, I think. Because that gets the crowd going, to be honest. Like, that gets the conversation going. That gets – yeah, it's provocative.
Right? It's going. Provocative.
And
dude, Mugatu. Yeah, dude, it seriously is. It's like I had a meeting with Donald Sun when he bought the tour, and he was signing all the athletes to be like, hey, play on my tour. I bought it back. We're going to roll, and I promise you that we'll do this. And I was like, okay. So I met with him at Duke's right in Huntington Beach by the pier. And he's like, look – and I'd only won one tournament at that time. And he's like, look, I need you to win more tournaments. I need you to like entertain more and have people see you play, because to be honest, I love watching you more than anyone else. So I need you to be successful. I'm like, all right, yes, sir. I'll train harder, sir. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sprints for the kids.
Okay. I'm going to get dance class. I'm going to go like, you know, trash talk class. I'm going to go like, like, dude, what can I do? And luckily, like we had such a great run for those 4 years that like really helped me like be able to just be myself. And you 100% need that. I, as a like maybe one of the nerdiest volleyball dudes ever who's watching it, I don't even watch TV. I'm like YouTubing like your guys' 3-on-3 stuff from Wapaka. I'm just like watching that for like 3 hours. This is sick. They ran another combo fake jump set to the pin hammer. Like what's happening? Like I feel like I know more about that stuff than I do about like, oh wait, who just won the NBA games last time? I don't even care. Like I don't even watch it really. Yeah. But it's like the characters and the entertainment value, you have to have that to keep me interested. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's someone that loves volleyball. I can't imagine someone who doesn't. And you're just like,
right.
I mean, Phil is the greatest player on the world, on the earth of beach volleyball. But you're like, well, I'm not. If he would just talk a little bit of trash, I'm like, Phil, if you just gave us a little something after you went like OT on someone,
Like, yeah, take that.
I would like worship you forever. You know, like it'd be so rad. That was my goal. I was like, dude, I'm gonna play defense. I'm gonna pick Philip as a partner. And I'm gonna make him just go nuts all the time. And he didn't play with me.
like Phil, if you block me right. and you talk some trash, I'll get excited. Like, let's.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Phil, just this one. Just talk trash to me. Let's do this. Yeah.
You just like smile on your face, but that's the thing. That's the thing about like the Joe and I were talking about this last episode, like the gentleman's game and in such a small world, right? And we were talking. It's like, all right, first of all, I made a vow to myself. I'm like, you know what, Gage? Like you run that mouth like during practice all the time. I was like, sometimes like I kind of let it run a little more, you know, just for fun and whatnot. And then also it's like you're also. But the thing is, it's like. For you, beach is a little different, but for indoor, you're always connected to a program. So for you guys, you're your own team, right? So I feel like it's a little more lenient. But for indoor, you're always connected to a team. And you want to – okay, and let's say all of a sudden, like, talk a little or do all this other stuff, start some beef or something, whatnot, what happens all the time in other sports, right? Then in USA Volleyball, they might be like, oh, you can't do that or something like that.
Yeah,
or when, right. Or, like, other right. clubs are afraid to sign you. Or like, it's like there's so much just, like, to it where it's like
yeah.
people just, like, loosen up and just have some fun.
Right. You know? I know. You guys have to deal with it a little bit more because you got to be a little bit strategic with the whole thing because, yeah, you're representing your school, you're representing your team, you're representing your coach, you're representing USA Volleyball, and you're representing your future contracts with wherever you have opportunities to go. And they're like, is he going to be like a wild card player that's just going to disrupt the locker room and it's going to be crazy because he's just all over the place? Or is he going to bring that fire in like such a good way? But I think you start to find like how you can still be yourself, but still like, play within the rules once in a while and just dodge and weave, but still stay true to your passion and like who you are. And you'll fine tune it. Like I used to just yell like random things. And now I'm like, all right, I need to be more of a savant here. And I need to have some more like lyrical aspects to it or have a little bit more witty things to say versus just like, don't pull on me. It's just like, what are you just like changing it? And like, there's an art form to it and you can stay true to that like absolute fire trash talk, especially as a libero where you're like, I'm just going to jump on your back every time you get a kill because that's what I get to do, right? Like, that's my job. I pass nails and I scoop and you deliver. So I'm just going to be like, let's go.
I'm going to run under the net and punch him in his jugular.
Right. Nice kill. Let's go.
What does your family say? What does your family say about some of your trash talk? Are they huge fans of it or sometimes they're just shaking their head?
I came home after we played Chase and came that first time in the first long beach one. We ended up losing, I think, in three. And all my kids, Cash Guy, Ray and Blake, my two daughters too, all they were doing is running around the house saying, never twice, never twice. It's like all they were saying because I said that because Chase blocked me and then I just tooled him. I'm like, never twice, dude, but so loud. And so they like 100% picked it up and they were like, dude, Dad, that was so fun. We liked watching it so much more than we used to because usually when we're at tournaments, we're off being crazy with our cousins or we're not really paying attention. He's like, it was so fun hearing you, like all the things you were saying. So it 100% like influenced when I came home. They're all like using the same terms and stuff. It was really cool. They loved it.
That's awesome.
They love it. As long as I'm not dropping, you know, try to not cuss all the potty words we're allowed to say at home.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents are about the same. They don't like any. So I try and hide it.
Gage and I got in trouble one time at Hawaii. We each got in trouble one time each because the cameras came straight to us at the worst time.
Like slow motion.
You just mouth it.
Yeah.
You're like, your mom's like, I have to talk to you after.
Yeah, exactly. So like, there's one thing here before we let you go. The reason why we got you here was through Instagram comments. You saw our guesses on, we literally pulled it out of our ass, the partner splits and everything.
Yeah, like, that was so good.
We're like, what's something we come up with? We were talking with Sarah Sponsel. She thought the idea was awesome. Like, all right, let's just do it. Why not? We had Taylor come on the show soon. But we wanted to ask you how close we were, but also just for how does when a partner split up happens, what is the best way to handle that? Because in the AVP, it's not like a league where you're on a team and you cut somebody and they go to a whole new city. Like you still see this every single tournament and you're interacting with them all the time. So how does that go down? How accurate were we with some of those that we guessed?
Dude, it's funny because it's a lot like a relationship, which probably most beach players would tell you. It's like, if you get dumped by someone, you take it so personal. Like, well, was I not better looking? Did I need all 8 abs? Were only 6 abs enough? Like, was my hair wrong? Like, did I say something? You know what I mean? Like, what was it? It's not you, it's me. It was like, you go through that whole like dating process where like, you're trying to break it to them because you feel like there's a better option. And then as the person getting dumped, you're like, you really think there's a better option than me? Like, it gets so dramatic. It's crazy. So yeah, having to see them all the time too, you're like, all right. At first, when those happen and you're a younger guy, you take it personal, and then it's like there's beef and you want to play them in that first tournament. And then you're like, yeah, I want to smash them. And everyone's talking about it, which is rad for the sport because everybody wants to see it. The brothers go at each other. Like, everybody loves it. But then the longer you play, you're like, look, dude, I'm not going to try to like sell myself once you've decided that you don't want to play with me. I'm just going to like say good luck and hopefully you have a long, you know, successful career. I'm going to go this way and do my own thing too. And then when we play, I'm going to try to smash you, like, but I'll still be buds with you. You know, and I think the older you get, the more that's the mentality, right?
Right.
But I mean, as far as the drama goes, you guys, you can make up anything and it's probably pretty close to truth. Like, it's so gnarly how dramatic it is because there's like, anytime it's like a bunch of sharks smelling blood in the water, like, oh, a team didn't get two, like they didn't get a 9th or better in 2 tournaments. And then every defender's texting that blocker and every blocker's like texting that defender, like, hey, hey, hey. And you're just like, whoa, you're just deflecting chaos. Like, dude, and you're trying to stay together as a team and be like, no, no, we're good together, right? We're okay. Yeah. And you know that they're getting texts, but they're not talking about it. Dude, it's like the most awkward thing. It's so funny. So I know it when Chase and I, like, we had a great year. And we're all playing. And at the end in Hawaii, we lost to Theo and John. We shouldn't have. And it was like just a bummer at the very end in the semis we lost. And I could see him sitting over with Kane Schalk after. And I was like, oh, okay, I already know what's like happening. But I'm not – personally, I'm not threatened. I'm like, dude, I'm not worried about that. But that was what started it. Like a little bit of a, like a snowball effect over there where they're chatting and they're training together just because I don't live close. And then they're going to lifting weights together and they're flirting. And so it turns into that. And so he kind of said, like, hey, I want to go play with him because I've got this long-term play because he's younger. He's been in the Olympics. Like, I want to go and try to just do a whole quad with him where, like, for you, I don't know how long you're going to play. Like, what's the deal? And I was like, well, I've traveled all world tour with you. So we build up all these points to go to the Olympics. So that was my mentality still.
Yeah.
But I was like, to be honest, it didn't make any sense to me. And it only came down to, for sure, is that he's jealous of the hair. That's what it came down to.
100%.
Right? I mean, like, you guys nailed it. That's basically what it is.
That's, and like, I mean, I text nailed
him,
it.
He confirmed it. I text him and he confirmed it. So you guys were right.
What about the facial hair, though? What about the facial hair? When does that kind of get grown out?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a seasonal thing when I just get like, oh, I start watching Vikings and I'm getting motivated. And I'm like, yes, hitting the gym hard. I'm not doing a lot of volley. I'm like, let's get jacked and let's just grow the beard. Hopefully the testosterone gets thicker. And yeah, I don't know. It comes and goes. We'll see. If we want to do like a beer challenge, I'm in. Let's go.
I mean, I wish I could. I mean, this is 2 weeks right here. I don't know how much I can muster up.
Gage and I have to team up and we add it.
Yeah, together.
Measure it that way.
Well, it's got the top hair. You can just glue it and just put it on. And
just straighten it.
Just fluffy. Oh, yeah. It's the humidity here in Hawaii.
Casey, thank you so much for joining us. This has been super, super fun to talk to you. This is our first time meeting you, or for me at least, and this has been, you have not let us down whatsoever. Thank you for sharing all those great stories with you, man, with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, thanks for having me, guys. You guys are so fun to watch.
Thank you.
The Wapaka, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. That tournament was so entertaining because of you guys, and I'm so happy you guys smashed Timmy and Troy. And you can tell them that. Like, that was funny. They're probably showing up like, yeah, dude, we're the pros. Like, oh, you need a picture, a photo? Let me sign some autographs. Cool. You guys are like, we're about to smash you.
when we showed up, we looked at everybody else. We're like, we're like, tiny. We're like, how are we going to hit or block against any of these guys?
Right? The one dude you guys had was like kind of tall, right? He was like maybe 6'5", but he got injured. You guys went to adult. 3 dudes.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, he got injured.
That was so entertaining.
Yeah, the longer the one before we can let you off here. But I remember as we showed up, people recognized, it's like, oh, like that or that. They recognized throughout a system or Hawaii. And then they're like, oh, they're here. And then the longer it went, because we played 15 sets in one day. And it was so gnarly. And then excuse my mom, dad, if you're listening to this, I don't
the usually say this, now.
But but then people were like, it kind of hurt, like, oh shit, like throughout the day, like progressive, they're like, okay, like, okay,
we went from just like, oh, they're here. The longer, like, exactly. Oh, they're coming.
I remember people just being like, they have a shot, like, and then the shot turned in, oh my God, yes, and then they're like, oh, yeah, they're our favorites, and then Dalton, our big guy, went down. They're like, and we have our 51-year-old out there, and then a drunk guy comes and play with us, and they're like, oh, you're still our favorites. I'm like, bro, I would even pick us to be our favorites right now. I don't know why they're picking us.
Dude, that's what made it so special, right? That's what made it so much better than if you guys had a bunch of like gnarly beasts on your team that you brought in to like just sub in. Like, that's what made it so magical. That's why it's so entertaining, and that's where like, closing the loop, that's where like real volleyball is made, like those stories. Dude, that's so sick. I love it.
Hopefully we get a chance to go back there next year, but at the same time, if we don't, hopefully because of USA volleyball, that would be awesome.
Oh, sorry, we're on the team training, we can't go.
So either way, hopefully it'll be just kind of fun. Hopefully good. We'll see what happens next summer. But Casey, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah,
this has been
thank you so much. Thank you, Casey. We'll stay in touch. Hopefully, you know, we want to get you on some videos eventually. Like next summer, we'll be down in SoCal. Yeah. We want to get you in on some cool content, maybe, or we'll be in touch. But we loved having you on, and thank you so much again.
I love it. Thanks, dudes.
Thank you. And that was super entertaining, Casey. Like I said, that was our first time meeting him, and I had a lot of questions for him about the hair, about the smack talk, and he did not, again, I will repeat, he did not disappoint. That was incredibly fun kind of talking to him. I hope to meet him in person, and you kind of get a look into what it's like being, well, him, being an entertainer, being an Olympian, and also being a father, wanting to destroy no matter who it is in front of him, whether it be Phil Dahlhauser or a grandma or his son's teammates. But this has been a phenomenal, phenomenal time, kind of inside of a life of an AVP Olympian player. And this has also been another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, brought to you by Out of System. Mahomes.